Blog Talk Radio.
For his goodness and his mercy, for his Pentecost, the 50 days. We're going to go into this particular feast. It's one of the three that all males were commanded to attend, Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Okay, so three feasts that we are commanded to attend, all males. And we're going to look at the history of this morning, where it's required as in the scriptures, and then it's fulfilling in the New Testament, what its type was in the Old Testament, and what its anti-type or fulfillment in the New Testament, and what is yet to come in the future. And then we're going to have a short communion service at the end of this particular lesson. Give me a hot second here. I'm trying to upload a song that I want. Let me put it here. This is a celebration, and it has to do with in gathering. This particular feast has to do with in gathering. They would come and they would bring the first fruits of the harvest, like at Passover, the barley, and I think at Pentecost, the first fruit would be the wheat harvest. And so they would come and bring it, you know, that way. But in the end days, this spiritually, this is talking about the end gathering of the saints, both Hebrew and Gentile. And then in the end, there is another gathering of the nation of Israel, for those who never accepted Messiah, and, you know, the Orthodox, who, you know, keep the statutes, laws, and commandments, but they never accepted Messiah. There would be another in-gathering for them, either during the tribulation or just prior to the tribulation. We have that yet to look forward, when the Most High, you know, sends the message out to preach this gospel to Israel again, specifically in the last days. So as we go into this precept, you know, I want us to understand that salvation is to everyone, and we want to make a plea to everyone in the world. If you have not accepted Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ in the English, as your Savior and your Redeemer, today is the day that you may want to go forward, or not may, you do want to go forward and seek out Him as your Savior, your Lord and your Savior, your Master and your Savior, your Elohim and your Savior. And so we're going to talk about that at the end, because we want to make that plea to everybody who's up under the sound of my voice, who is, no matter where you're at in the world, even if you listen to this at a later time, as a, you know, if you listen to this as a downloaded broadcast, that you at that time, within that, listening to that message, that you also, if you don't know Him as your Savior and your Redeemer, that it's important that you do so with evidence. You know, one of the things that I say to everyone, it is most important, it is critical that you know, that you know, that you know, that Messiah has selected you, that the Most High has selected you, and that you have been filled by His Spirit. There should be some sign. You know, He said He leaves gifts, so you should be gifted in some type of way. The on the day of Pentecost, what we're going to read is the sign that was given to the Hebrews is that they began to speak, and all the people around them, no matter what nation they came from, no matter what nation they came from, they were all Jews, but they weren't all born in Israel. So they were being born in nations all around the Mediterranean, you know, throughout Europe, Asia, in Africa, And they weren't necessarily born in Israel. And they spoke a tongue, their native tongue was not Hebrew. As far as, you know, the place where they were born in. So as the apostles began to speak and to magnify the Most High when the Holy Spirit filled them, all these people from around the world heard them in their own language. Heard them in their own language. And so we need those miracles today. We need those signs today. When we're not going to read it today, but in what book is it? Just my mind, what book of Acts it is? No, Acts chapter 10. You know, the Peter had to be given a sign. Peter had to be told by the Most High. It's okay to go to the Gentiles. And he had to be shown that three times before he would actually accept it. And he still kind of doubted it, even after being shown three times, but he was obedient. And he obeyed the Spirit and he went. But to convince Peter and to show him that the Most High had accepted the Gentiles, he caused the Gentiles to also speak in tongues just as they had on the day of Pentecost as a sign. Because Peter, they wouldn't have believed it. They had no other way of knowing that the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, had selected the Gentiles. So even at that time, the Gentiles were caused to speak in tongues as a sign so that Peter would know, hey, exactly the same thing that happened to us happened to them. We today need to be seeking for this same sign. So that we know that we know. It's not something to be, you know, ashamed of. It's not something that is taught. If some church taught you how to speak in tongues, wrong there. Because tongues are spoken as the Spirit of the Most High gives you utterance. Not as you want to utter, but as He gives utterance. So nobody should be speaking tongues on demand. Okay, but as the Spirit of the Most High, the Ruach HaKodesh, wants to speak through you, then that's how that should happen. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and do our statement of faith. I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the internet in general, whether you are in North America, South America, the African continent, the European theater, the Middle East, the Far East, or any of the communist countries that are now listening. We say happy Pentecost to you. And we greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. You may have the ladies to cover their heads, men uncover your heads. And as we go before the Most High, I did want to I think I marked it on here. We had some other, I'll just give it next week, some new nations that joined, other than the ones that I've mentioned previously. And, we want to welcome them to the fold and pray that the word of the Most High is blessing them and that they continue to listen and to grow in the word of the Most High in these last and evil days where he is saying the gospel is to fear him because we are, for his judgment is come. And we don't want to be caught on the negative side of that judgment. So let me have the ladies to cover your heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east or turn toward Jerusalem as we are commanded to do. Our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe that I am a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your Pentecost, for your in-gathering, Father. Thank you for the feast of weeks, Father, and the fruits that you have gathered, all that you're going to gather in Messiah, Father. We thank you for it. We thank you for, hallelujah, calling us to you, Father, and for filling us with your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit, for making us your children, Father. We thank you for this day we call Citizenship Day, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you. Let us get the book of Romans, chapter 11. We read this on last night. We're going to get one verse from there right now. The book of Romans, chapter 11. And so all Israel, we're going to get verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written. There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. This is a feast day, a Sabbath, and we are commanded to blow the shofar in the feast days and in the Sabbaths. And let me stop this. Let's start in the middle.
Just,
you know, that sounds so regal to me. And the summon thing, you know, the Most High says, when we blow the shofar or the trumpet, he will come and he will be amongst us. But it always amazes me that, you know, this man can get all those sounds out of that ram's horn with just his lips, no buttons, you know, no holes, just his, and make all those different, you know, notes. I've tried it. You know, you got to be called to it. All praises to the Most High. You know, I'm still asking him to bless me to be able to blow the ram's horn consistently. But all praises to the Most High. All right. This feast day is all about the release of the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason why I chose this song for this, you know, this particular feast day. By his Spirit, because this is what Pentecost is all about, the release of the Ruach HaKodesh to mankind. And, you know, we want to acknowledge that the Most High, this is how he makes us his children. And the scriptures tell us that without his Spirit, we are none of his. And if we go to our grave without having his Spirit, then we go to our grave being none of his. It's by his Spirit that he's going to resurrect us as his children. It's by his Spirit that we become, he's a spiritual being, and it's by his Spirit that we become his children, that he adopts us. And so this is very critical to each and every believer. You know, you don't just want to be a believer and never have this experience, because Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit of the Most High. And that's not an angel. No, you're not supposed to be begotten by an angel, but you're supposed to be begotten by the Spirit of the Most High himself. He says, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will have visions. It's by his Spirit. It is by his Spirit that we receive power. The power to work miracles. The power to endure the attacks of the enemy. So it is, you know, this is critical to your salvation. Not something that you want to take for granted, not something you want to leave undone. And it's something that you have to ask the Most High for. And so I know a lot of churches don't even believe in it being filled, or they believe you're automatically filled, but I'm here to tell you on this morning that it's not an automatic thing. It happens automatically for some people because their hearts are ready. And the Most High has chosen them. But for most people, this doesn't happen automatically. You get baptized, you go down in the water, you come back up wet. And then you have to do like the disciples did. They had to go and tarry. They had to stay in prayer before the Most High. In this case, they had to stay in prayer before him 10 days. And then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was released to them. Okay. In the book of Acts, we're not going to read this today, but I'm just going to say it. In the book of Acts chapter 8, with the people of Samaria, Philip came and brought them the gospel. And they heard the word of Elohim, and they believed, both men and women. And they got baptized, but they didn't receive the Holy Spirit. And they had to send back to Jerusalem for Peter and John. And when they heard, they came and laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, it doesn't say that they spoke in tongues there, but the only way that Peter and John would have known that they received the Holy Spirit is that they saw the sign, just like they did in Acts chapter 10 with the Gentiles, that they heard them speak in other tongues and magnify the Most High. Because, see, the Spirit comes, the scripture says, the Spirit comes without observation, meaning you can't see it come. You can't see him come, but he gives a sign that he has entered in. So the scripture says tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But the them that believe is talking about, the them that believe not is not talking about the rank sinner. It's not talking about those people who are trying to be filled or those people who don't believe in the gospel. It's talking about people who have already been filled by the Ruach HaKodesh, but they don't know if you have been. They don't believe you have been. They don't know. They don't see, you know, where's the evidence at? The speaking of tongues was given as a sign to those believers that didn't believe that somebody had been filled yet, that the Most High had selected them, had chosen them. So the unbeliever in this case are believers in Messiah who have been filled, but they don't know if, quote unquote, you have been. That's what that sign is for. It's a confirmation that you have been chosen by the Most High. And there is no feeling like this to be filled with the Spirit of the Most High. There is no feeling like it. It's like a washing out from the inside out. And then the fact that it happens to you, you just know that you know that you know that you know. It changes your witness, your life. It changes everything about you when you can have this confirmation. So, you know, I pray for all those who have been baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or in the English, Jesus the Christ, that you've been baptized in his name. If you've been baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you want to go back and get rebaptized, because those are titles. Father's a title. Son is a title. Holy Spirit is a title for the Most High. But the name that he gives is Jesus Christ, or in the Hebrew, Yeshua HaMashiach. If you haven't been baptized into his name, then you need to go back and be baptized in his name. Specifically, you need to seek that out. Because it is nowhere in the scriptures will you find them baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They had an understanding. Messiah taught them that the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is one name. Messiah said, I come in my Father's name. And so you must be baptized in his name. In his name. Not sprinkled with water, but submerged in the water, because the water also has a representation in the scriptures as the grave. So let me do this real quick, and then we'll get into this precept. For those of you who don't understand the process of salvation that the Most High has put in place, you must recognize that you're a sinner, and you should be, somebody should teach you exactly what sin is, the transgression of his laws. Once you know what you have transgressed, then you are to repent with godly sorrow. You are to repent that you have broken the laws of the Most High and you have offended him. And you want to be in right relationship with him. So you repent. You say you're sorry and you turn away. That's what repentance is, to be sorry and to turn away from doing those things. Once you have done that, then you should be baptized. Not before. You should understand what you're coming into, and they should really tell you and explain to you and have you to consider the cost. As I've learned this over the years, that you should consider the cost. You should make a conscious decision that, yes, this is what I want to do. And I repent before the Most High. I turn away from my sin, and then you, that old sinner, you die. Not literally, but spiritually, that man died. You're not going to be that same person anymore. And you bury that person in baptism with Messiah. When you come up out of the water, the Most High sees you as being a new creation. You should come up out of the water praising him and asking him for his spirit. Praising him and asking him for his spirit, that he might fill you. Now, that may happen right away. It may not. If it happens right away, all glory to the Most High for you. All glory to the Most High. If not, all glory to the Most High for you. You continue to seek after him. You continue to tarry and you continue to pursue him. Me personally, it took almost 5 years. And I was, you know, but I know it was me. I was the problem. Okay? I was the problem. So I didn't get filled right away. And then the longer I was in the church and this was happening around me, the madder I was getting, and I was getting upset. Why not me? Why not me? The Most I said, it's you. I've chosen you, but you haven't chosen me. And that meant that I wasn't seeking him with my whole heart. And then one day I heard a voice. I will not forever call you. I heard that coming down the stairs. It's like I'm talking right now. I heard it. And I knew the voice. He had talked to me many nights, early in the morning or in dreams. And I knew who the voice was. And the only thing I could do at that time, I was addressing him as Lord. I could all say was, yes, Lord. And it became all about him. All about seeking his kingdom in him. Nothing else mattered. Wife, children, business, my life, none of that mattered. What mattered was I needed to get right with the Most High. And I knew that he was telling me, you don't come now, I'm going to reject you. Now, I don't know if he does that for everybody. I'm thankful that he did it for me. And so when I went down to the line, to the prayer line, we did this on what they call a watch night service, New Year's Eve, watch night service. And I don't do them anymore, but rather than going out and partying for New Year's Eve, you go to church. And all the churches in the valley got together, and they have what is called a watch night service. And so I went to watch night service, and I told my wife, I said, hey, here are the keys to the car. I'm going down to the prayer line. I'm not coming back until the Most High fills me with his spirit. So if you got to leave me. I'll find a ride home, even if I have to walk. If I have to call a cab. I don't think Uber even existed at that time. But that's how determined that altar until the Most High filled me with his spirit. They would have to lock that place up on me. Drag me out of there. That's how determined I was. And it took all of 2 minutes, if that long. So this is real even today. It's not a figment of someone's imagination. It still is happening. The Most High is still filling people with his spirit today. This is how you become his child. And so I want you to take it seriously. If you have not had that experience, then you want to seek out the Most High for that experience. It will change your life. Period. It will change your walk. I don't care how holy and devoted you think that you are. When this happens to you, it will kick it up a level of 10. The gift of the Ruach HaKodesh is for everyone. Stop doing that. Every time I would go to Terry for the Ruach, of this and culminating in the book of Acts, chapter 2, with Ruach HaKodesh.
Power by you. Yeah. not by power. Send your spirit, God. Send your spirit, God. Not by might, not by power. Send your spirit, God. Send your spirit, God.
The book of Leviticus 23. The book of Leviticus chapter 23. This feast is called by a couple of names, the Feast of Weeks. And it is one of the solemn feast days that the Most High says that all Hebrew males were required to travel to Jerusalem to attend. And they could not come to this feast or these three feasts empty-handed. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 23, and we're going to get start in verse 15, and we're going to read through verse 21. You see, when this feast was initiated, and there were, you know, some sacrifices that were to be done along with this feast day. Now, we know that today we don't offer those sacrifices. Those sacrifices, the ordinances that required those sacrifices were nailed to the cross. And the only sacrifice that we are to really bring is ourselves. Present yourself a living sacrifice, acceptable and holy unto Yah, each individual person. Messiah was the sin offering and the sin sacrifice, and we don't offer those sacrifices anymore. But the sacrifice that is to be pleasing, a good smell in the nostril of the Most High, is your sacrifice of yourself and your praise and your worship, to present yourself that living sacrifice, acceptable and holy to Him. That's the sacrifice that we offer today. It's ourselves. So we want to be without spot. Spot without blemish. We want, if we're not in that condition, we want to get ourselves in that condition, because He says, I want you to offer yourself as a living sacrifice. And this is a sacrifice that we bring to all of His feast days now. We don't bring the animals, we bring ourselves. And we present ourselves as that living sacrifice, acceptable to Yah. Leviticus chapter 23, starting in verse 15. And you shall count unto you from the morrow. This is from the Passover, the first day after the weekly Sabbath. Let me say it this way. You had the Passover, whatever day that fell on during the week. So let's say that it fell on a Thursday. And then you would have the weekly Sabbath. And then the first day after the weekly Sabbath was called the heave offering, or the feast of first fruits. So from that day, we're supposed to count so many Sabbaths. So you shall count unto you from tomorrow after the Sabbath, okay? That would be a Sunday. That would be the heave offering. From the day that you brought the sheaf for the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be completed. So you would count seven Sabbaths. And then you would add one day. The Sabbath is on. See, this is how, you know, the church can't get away from that the Sabbath is Saturday, Friday night to Saturday, because Pentecost always falls on a Sunday. Always. Because you take seven Sabbaths plus one day, and that would be the 50 days. That's what Pentecost stands for, 50. And it always falls on a Sunday. So the Sabbath has to be on a Saturday, and then Pentecost on a Sunday. Seven Sabbaths shall be completed. That's 49 days. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, even unto the next day after the seventh Sabbath, shall you number 50 days. And you shall offer a new meat offering unto Yah. A meat offering is an offering that is pleasing to the nostril of Yah. You are to be that meat offering. Today, you present yourself that living sacrifice. All of these sacrifices, except for sin, you and I are to become. And so we are to keep these feast days, realizing that we are the sacrifice that is to be offered in place of the meal offering or in place of the burnt offering. We're to offer ourselves. You shall, even unto tomorrow, after the seventh shall be numbered 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto Yah. You shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of a tenth deal. Now, these 2 wave loaves are just like for the heave offering. When the priest would go out for the heave offering, he would go out into the barley, he would gather grain, and all that grain that he gathered represented all those people who are called. And then he would choose the choice grain out of all those grains, and he would crush it up and make a loaf of bread. And the grains that he chose represented the saints, the Hebrew saints. But in this case, in the Pentecost, he's going to make 2 loaves. 1 loaf represents the Hebrew Israelites, and the other loaf represents the Gentile nation. And this would culminate in the New Testament with both of these loaves being made into one at the heave offering, one body in Messiah. So we'll read that later on here. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baking with leaven. They are the first fruits unto Yah. Pentecost is about the first fruits unto Yah of the saints. Messiah being the very first fruit. That's why he came out at the end of the Sabbath. He came out of the tomb at the end of the Sabbath. It was still the Sabbath, but at the end, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. That is the feast of first fruits or the heave offering. Messiah being the first fruits. Okay. And you shall offer with bread 7 lambs without blemish of the first year and 1 young bullock and 2 rams. They shall be for a burnt offering before Yah with their meat offering and their drink offering, even an offering made by fire of sweet savor, a sweet smell unto Yah. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering. We are to be that sweet savor. Messiah has paid the price for sin forever. And all the ordinances to do these offerings this way were nailed to the cross. Took the place of those offerings, except for sin. That's Messiah forever. We are to present ourselves as this living sacrifice. So we take the place of the lambs and the bulls and the goats. They're not equal to us. We're greater than them. So our praise should reflect that, and our worship should reflect that, that we are now those living sacrifices. And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before Yah. And the 2 lambs, they shall be holy to Yah for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. This is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. Now, this is okay in today's terms for us in this society because Sunday is usually not a work day for the world. But this is a normal day for us as the people of the Most High. So this day is declared a non-work day as a feast day. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. This is where the Most High institutes this, and this is about the first fruits, lifting them up to the Most High and thanking him for his bountiful blessing, for making sure that, you know, we receive of the former and the latter rain, spiritually, it's about the harvesting of souls, of all those people who are called in Mashiach. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 16. Deuteronomy, chapter 16. And we're going to get verse 16. Now, you'll find this in a number of different places, but this is the only place I found it where it actually, you know, specifically mentions all of these feast days in the same verse. Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before Yah, thy Elohim, in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, that's the feast of Pentecost, and the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before Yah empty. Had to bring an offering. All the males. So, of all the males who are out there in the world, who are listening, understand that Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and Tabernacles, you are required to be there. You're required to attend. We're supposed to go to Jerusalem, but there is no temple in Jerusalem right now. So wherever you at will suffice. But you are to come before the Most High, and you're not to come empty. Thanking him for how he has blessed you and your family. There's some other names for this feast day that you might find in the scripture. Let's go to Numbers chapter 28. The book of Numbers chapter 28. A little bit of groundwork. Numbers chapter 28 and verse 26. Also in the day of first fruits. So this feast day is called the Feast of Weeks. It's also called the Day of First Fruits. When you bring a new meat offering unto Yah, after your weeks be out, after your 7 weeks be out, you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall do no servile work. So in the scripture, this feast day is also called the Day of Fruits. Then in Exodus chapter 23, Exodus chapter 23, in verse 16, another name for this feast. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 16, and the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year. So this feast is called the feast of harvest. And there's another one after the Day of Atonement called the ingathering, the feast of ingathering, which is at the end of the year when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. We're supposed to come and make an offering, a heave offering to the Most High, and thank him. But you're supposed to attend, all males are supposed to attend the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, in the future, when Messiah establishes his kingdom, the entire world will not be required to come to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover. The entire world will not be required to come to the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost. But the entire world will be required to come to the Feast of Tabernacles. It's going to be required for every nation. So understand that these things are not just for Israel. They were given to Israel, but Israel was to the world. And as we read on last night, our forefathers got fired because they killed and rejected Messiah. They rejected the gospel. And when they rejected the gospel was given to another nation, but they did not keep up and teach the world these feast days. They tried to hold it to themselves, trying to, you know, claim a birthright that they were adopted into. So as the Most High is waking us up in these last days, we are to come back into remembrance of his feast days and that we are required to keep these, even the world. So the world is keeping Pentecost, but the world doesn't keep tabernacles. Oh, that's for our future. But the truth of the matter is, if you know you're going to be required to keep it in the future, why wouldn't you keep it now? Just me, though. That's just me. Let's continue in this. So we see how this day was established. We see the different names for it, okay? And we know that it is one of the feast days that all the males of Israel were required to attend. This feast starts 50 days after the previous feast, which is the feast of the heave offering, Passover, really. And then the next day, the heave offering, or the feast of first fruits. 50 days after that, we have this feast day, Pentecost. And this is about harvesting. It was about their harvest, the wheat harvest. Passover, they brought an offering. All the males would bring an offering of barley, because that was the barley harvest. And then for Pentecost, it would be wheat. Okay. Each of these three solemn feast days, Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles, required that all able-bodied Hebrew Israelite males travel to Jerusalem to attend the feast and offer sacrifices. All three of these feasts required that first fruits offerings to be made at the temple as a way of expressing thanksgiving to Elohim for Elohim's provisions, thanking Elohim for what he had provided. The Feast of First Fruits celebrated at the time of Passover included the first fruits of the barley harvest. The Feast of Weeks was in the celebration of the first fruits of the wheat harvest. And the Feast of Tabernacles involved the offerings of the first fruit of the olive and the grape harvest. So these were all about harvesting. And even Tabernacles being about harvesting, again, when we look at the scriptures, and we'll do this again at Tabernacles, but just as a quick overview. Tabernacles is about teaching the nations, inviting the nations that have to come to Jerusalem in the future to teach them the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. Every nation, that they might know what they're supposed to do. We still have that mission today, and we're supposed to be, as a people, teaching the nations the statutes, laws, the commandments, the judgments of the Most High, that they would come to him in spirit and in truth. So he has set a day in the future that all nations will do that every year. They're not required to come to any of the other feasts, but the tabernacles they are. And I think that once they know what everything is, that they'll come to Passover, they'll circumcise their males, and they'll come to Pentecost, they'll circumcise their males, so that they can come to these feasts as well. Since the Feast of Weeks was one of the harvest feasts, that Hebrews were commanded to present an offering of new grain to Yah in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 16. We just read that. This offering was to be two wave loaves of two-tenths of ephah, which was made of fine flour baked with leaven. This offerings were to be made of the first fruits of the harvest, along with the wave offering. They were also to offer seer lambs that were without blemish, along with one young bull and two rams. Additional offerings were also prescribed in Leviticus and other passages that outline how the feast was to be observed. Another important requirement of this feast is that when the Hebrews harvested their fields, they were required to leave the corners of the field untouched, not gathered, not gleaned from the harvest, as a way of providing for the poor and the stranger in the land. So during these harvests, the spring and the summer and the late fall harvests, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, Israel, when they harvested, was told not to glean the corners of the field. That was to be left for the poor and even the animals. Okay. To the Hebrews, the time of celebration is known as Shavuot, which is the Hebrew word meaning week. This is one of the three separate names that are used in the scripture to refer to this important Hebrew Israelite feast. Each name emphasizes an important aspect of feast, as well as its religious and cultural significance to both Hebrews and Christians, to Hebrew Israelites and Christians. Besides being called the Feast of Weeks in Leviticus 23, we've already read these, the special feast celebrations called the Day of First Fruits and the Feast of Harvest. And we read those in Numbers chapter 28 and in Exodus chapter 23. The Feast of Weeks takes place exactly 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. It normally occurs in the late spring, either the late part of May or the beginning of June. Unlike other feasts that began on a specific day of the Hebrew calendar, this one is calculated as being 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. So we read that in Leviticus chapter 23, and then you can read it again in Deuteronomy chapter 16. This is the seventh Sabbath after the heave offering or the Feast of First Fruits plus one day will bring you back to a Sunday or the first day of the week. And it's the only Sabbath that we have that falls typically on the first day of the week, on a Sunday. This is not known as the Lord's Day. So this is not, you know, the church can't use it as an excuse to say, oh, this is the Lord's Day. His day is the Sabbath. Messiah said, I am the Lord or the master of the Sabbath. And at that time, the Sabbath was the seventh day of the week, and it still is. And, again, this is very critical to our understanding and our walk in our salvation. Because it's by the Sabbath day that we calculate Pentecost. So the church has to be aware of this. Or else how are they celebrating Pentecost? Because they celebrate Pentecost. Then they have to know when the true Sabbath day is, and they're choosing not to observe it. Nevertheless, this is a festive day and a celebratory day because this is the day that the Most High chose to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. In the past, he only poured out his spirit on the prophets and the king. The common everyday man did not receive the spirit of the Most High. Was not filled by the Spirit of the Most High. His prophet, not even the priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood didn't have the Spirit of the Most High. The Levitical priesthood didn't have the Spirit of the Most High. Only if they were selected as a prophet, did they receive. But he says, I'm going to do a new work in the new covenant. And I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Like other Hebrew Israelite feasts, the Feast of Weeks is important in that it foreshadows the coming Messiah and his ministry. Each and every one of the seven Hebrew Israelite feasts, it signifies an important aspect of Elohim's plan of redemption through Yeshua HaMashiach. Yeshua was crucified as the Passover lamb and rose from the grave at the Feast of First Fruits. Now, we know the church, the world today, doesn't count the days the same way that the Most High counts them, but we count them that way. That's why our Sabbath starts in the evening and the morning. Messiah came out of the tomb at the end of the Sabbath. That would be as it began to get dark, not at 12 midnight. As it began to get dark, as the sun was setting, he came out of the tomb. It was still the Sabbath, but getting ready to turn the next day. So he did not come out of the tomb on the first day of the week, but he came out of the tomb in time that he would be there to be available and celebrate the Feast of First Fruits, because it was that feast would be dedicated to him. The Most High gave it to us back in Leviticus chapter 23. In preparation for Messiah being the first fruit. So we have to understand all of these feast days tied together. Okay? In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, and I think I got more than that because we got to understand that this is a foreshadowing that the heave offering and that the feast of Pentecost, the feast of weeks, the harvest, the feast of harvest, two barley loaves represent what Messiah would be doing. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. The book of Ephesians chapter 2. Now let's get verse 11. Starting in verse 11. And we're going to be verses 11 through 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. Wherefore remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by that which is called circumcised, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Mashiach, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without Elohim in the world. But now is Yeshua HaMashiach, now in Yeshua HaMashiach, you are sometimes, you who were sometimes were afar off are made nigh or near by the blood of Mashiach. For he is our peace, who has made both one, both he's talking about are Jews and Gentiles, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There was a law that the Hebrew Israelite was not to go amongst the Gentile nations, was not to go to their house, was not to eat with them, was not to marry their sons or their daughters. That was a partition. That was an ordinance. When the Most High came and talked to Peter in Acts chapter 10 and said, Peter, get down. Kill and go eat out of these unclean beasts. And Peter said, not so, Yah. For my lips have never touched anything common or unclean. And the Most High had to tell him, hey, what I declare to be clean, don't you declare to be unclean, common or unclean. He had to show Peter that vision three times before Peter would go to Cornelius and his family, a Gentile family. And the Most High filled this family with the Ruach HaKodesh, with the Holy Spirit. So the two loaves represent both Jew and Gentile, both Hebrew Israelite and the Gentile nations. And he having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the hatred, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances. Don't go amongst those people. For to making himself of the two one new man, so making peace. So on the cross, with the abolishment of the sacrificial, the animal sacrifice, he says, now I'm also taking away the law, the ordinances that say you can't go amongst the Gentile nations, because I'm going to save them also. Okay? And that he might reconcile both unto Elohim in one body by the cross, having slain the hatred thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh or near. For through him we both have access. And again, when he's saying both, he's talking about Jew and Gentiles. And through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of Elohim, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, Yeshua HaMashiach himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the body, all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in Yah, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of Elohim through the Spirit. So this is the work that Messiah was doing on the cross. He was destroying those ordinances of the animal sacrifices, and those animal sacrifices required with the feast days. He wasn't destroying the feast days, because we are told to we are to observe those perpetually, forever. But he said, I'm making a change. The law that requires you to make the animal sacrifices, you don't make those anymore. The law that said that you couldn't go amongst the Gentiles, I'm removing that. And I'm going to take of the two of you, Hebrew, Israelite, and Gentile, and I'm going to make one new man in Mashiach. for the habitation of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. For these are going to be the people of the Most High. If the Ruach doesn't, if you're not filled by the Spirit of the Most High, he says that you are none of his. Today in history is the day that he releases the Ruach HaKodesh. Go to the book of Acts. And let's get, I want to get chapter 1 first. I want to get a couple of verses out of chapter 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1. And I thought I copied those. Hold on a minute. Let me see where I put them at. If not, I'll open up my Bible and get them. Yeah, Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. Now, he's talking about the prophecy from Joel, that in the last days, I shall pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. That's the promise of the Father. I'm going to pour out of my spirit. And if you're supposed to receive the Holy Spirit, then the Most High says it's of my spirit, then you have to know that the Holy Spirit is the Most High. The Holy Spirit is not an angel. The Holy Spirit is not Michael. The Holy Spirit is not Gabriel. The Holy Spirit is the Most High himself. And this is what makes you his child. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Not many days hence. So he told the apostles to go and wait. You're going to receive the promise that the Father promised through the prophet Joel. Now go and wait for it. Go tarry in Jerusalem. Today, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, you need to tarry. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2. And we want to read this whole account because this is the day of Pentecost. 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. After Messiah comes out of the grave, it is 10 days after he has ascended into heaven. They didn't have to wait a whole long time. Messiah, when he came out of the grave, taught them for 40 days before he ascended. And then 10 days later, after he ascended, the promise came. The release of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. So he told them to go to Jerusalem and wait. The book of Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. That means that they were all in agreement. And in one place, they were in the upper tower in Jerusalem. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. If you go to Ezekiel chapter 1, we're not going to go there today, but if you go to Ezekiel chapter 1 and you read all of Ezekiel chapter 1 and part of chapter 2, you will see that this rushing sound of a rushing mighty wind are the angels that the Most High rides. How he travels. And they travel at the speed of lightning. That's how Ezekiel describes it. Now, they are arriving on the day of Pentecost, and the people don't see them, but they hear the sound of the rushing mighty wind as like a whirlwind, as described in Ezekiel. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven or different tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh. You got to be filled just as they were. This is not something that was just for their time period. Because that is also something that is taught. When people don't have this experience, they will rationalize it and say, well, that was for that time. And it don't happen today. But I'm here to tell them on today that is a lie from the pits of hell. That just means that you need to pursue it. You need to tarry. Because a lot of times we're not even told that we should do this, depending upon the doctrine of that particular church, that particular organization. You know, if you've never been filled, if you never talked in tongues, it's hard for you to tell somebody about speaking in tongues. If you didn't get filled by the Ruach, then it's hard to tell somebody about it. You might say, well, hey, it didn't happen to me, so it's not happening today. It still happens today. It's still happening, and you better pray that it's still happening, or else there's no way for you to become a child of the Most High. There's no way for you to become one. So this is a must. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Not as they wanted to speak, but as the Spirit of the Most High, gave them utterance. Speak. And they began to speak. But what was coming, I'll tell you what happened to me. I began to speak. In my mind, I was speaking English, but what was coming out of my mouth wasn't English. I don't even know what language it was, but it wasn't English, okay? So if you are speaking in tongues as a sign, it should not be your native tongue, because it's not going to be a sign. There's nothing different there. You're praising the Most High in your native tongue. That's not a sign. You need to speak in other tongue, in a other tongue that you weren't taught. You didn't go to school for. Somebody didn't teach you. As the Spirit of the Most High gives you utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews. Now look at who the Most High gets to be his witnesses. Pay attention here. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men. These were men that followed the law. That's what devout means. They were law-abiding. Out of every nation under heaven. That means that the nation of Israel had spread into all these different countries, and they had people being born in all these different countries. And they were still coming back to Jerusalem to meet the requirement of Passover and to meet the requirement of Pentecost and to meet the requirements of Tabernacles. So they have come to Jerusalem out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, when this was heard abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded or confused. Because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Now you got about 120 people in the upper room. And they're coming out and they're all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. And these people start gathering and they hear them speaking every man in his own language. Now these are Jews. But they didn't all grow up speaking Hebrew or Aramaic. Some of them were speaking Egyptian. Some of them were speaking Mesopotamian. Some of them were speaking Aramaic. Some of them were speaking English. Some of them were speaking Russian, whatever the nations were. Get the point. And they were all amazed. And marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galilean? Shouldn't they be speaking Galilean to us? But we hear them speak in our own language. And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? These men weren't born in Israel. They were born in all these different nations. and they have come back for the Pentecost, a feast that all the males are required to attend. He tells us that these are devout men. They're law-abiding. They're there keeping the law. They're there because they're required to be there. But they don't live in Jerusalem. They don't live in Israel. Okay? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome and Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of Elohim. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? What does this mean? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Wouldn't you like to have some wine that made you just start speaking a new language? Go get me a bottle of that German Rhenlin over there so I can drink some and start speaking German. This is what they're saying. These men are full of some new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken or listen unto my words. They're not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It's 9 o'clock in the morning, and we ain't drinking. How do you know an alcoholic? They'll be drinking at 9 o'clock in the morning. They'll be drinking at 8, 7, 6 o'clock in the morning. So he's trying to tell you, hey, we ain't drunk. It ain't our custom to be drinking this early in the morning. It ain't but the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith Elohim, I will pour out of my spirit. Not a spirit. See, when people say that the Holy Spirit is Gabriel or is Michael or is some other angel, then the scripture would identify it that way. But the Most High says, thus saith Elohim, I will pour out of my spirit, the spirit of Elohim, upon all flesh. This is a new work, something different. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh is the spirit of the Most High. And this is how you become his child, when he pours his spirit out on you. Fills you with his spirit. Then you become his child. And they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders. Now this is a second part of this prophecy. When this stops, when the Most High stops pouring out his spirit upon all flesh, men and women, Jew and Gentile alike, and I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of Yah come. This is when it's going to stop. Right before the day of Yah, his judgment. So when those people saying that this was only for those days, then the day of Yah must have come and gone, and we're still here. See, people are doing what's right in their own minds, and they refuse to let the scriptures tell them. These days, the sun being turned into dark and the moon into blood did not happen in those days. It's going to happen before the great and notable day of Yah come. And that's when this gift, him pouring out his spirit, because when he comes to judge, it is too late. I'm carrying out judgment now. And the guilty, I will not acquit. But I come to destroy the wicked out of the earth. Until that time, he is still accepting people into the kingdom. He is still filling people with his spirit. And while you may yet come, come. Come. Because the time is winding down. And the great notable day of Yah is at hand. And so this will not too much longer happen. So for all those people in the churches where they teach you that this doesn't happen, tell your pastor, tell your teacher, you want the Holy Spirit. You don't want to take a chance with your salvation. And if you got to leave that organization and go someplace else, because I've seen that happen. I've seen the Most High convict people who were in Baptist churches and in Methodist churches, in churches where they didn't teach this. Come to a Pentecostal church. Said that the Most High sent them because they needed to be filled with his spirit, and they would come and get filled with his spirit, and they would go back to that church and get kicked out. Literally, get kicked out of that church because they spoke in tongues, because they didn't believe in doing it. But the Most High had convicted these individuals. And even when the church would see the evidence of it, because they wouldn't humble themselves and submit themselves to the Most High, they would throw these individuals out of the church. You possess. Yeah, with the Spirit of the Most High. But what are you possessed with? So if the Most High is putting that on your heart and you're in one of those churches that don't teach that you are to be filled by the Spirit of the Most High, then come out of her. Find you a church that will baptize you in the name of Messiah, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus the Christ. Not fighting about the name. And then seek the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because this is the Spirit of the Most High, and this is what's going to make you his child, and this is what's going to give you your citizenship in his kingdom. From that time forward, obey his voice and keep his commandments. Keep his Sabbath. This will cause you to rearrange your whole life. I remember the pastor that I was under before I came out of the church, and he knew that we should be coming back to the law. And he would tell you, hey, once you got filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, you need to go back into the law. But he himself couldn't get the church to move. And I, you know, the Most High put it on my heart to go back to him and to go back to that church to teach them, to convict them, because I know that they are still in Sunday, but I know that was not his heart. And the Most High may have very well ran me away from there to get truth so that I could go back. And I believe that I'm going to do that. Not to, you know, take over the church or anything like that, but to bring this message of fear Elohim and to come out and keep his Sabbath and his commandments. So this latter part, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of Yah come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of Yah shall be saved. Now, when you call upon his name, it's not just a matter of believing, because the scripture says the demons believe and tremble. But when you call upon his name, you got to believe and you got to do. You got to do what he says to do. Because people will say, oh, no, that's salvation by works. That is a misunderstanding of those verses. You can't do good works alone of your own accord and say that you're good enough for salvation. Because then you will say, you don't need this. You don't need Messiah. You will boast that it's of your own self. But after you, when you hear this gospel, he says you must be baptized. That's a work. You must seek after him. That's a work. You must be born again. That's a work. Your heart must be right. You have to contemplate your life. Am I a sinner? Well, yeah, all have sinned. What are my sins? What do I need to repent of and turn away from? What do I need to stop doing? And what do I need to start doing? Because there are sins of commission that you do that you're not supposed to do, and there are sins of omission, things you're supposed to do that you don't do. Either way, it's a sin. It's a transgression. So you have to learn what are you supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. Let's continue. You men of Israel, hear these words. Yeshua of Nazareth, a man approved of Elohim among you by miracles and wonders and signs which Elohim did by him in the midst of you, have you yourself also known. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of Elohim, Elohim's plan, you have taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain, whom Elohim has raised up, having loosed the pains of death. It was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw Yah always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher, his grave, is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that Elohim has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Mashiach to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Mashiach, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So David was shown Mashiach, and he was shown that he would be killed, and he was shown that he would be resurrected, that his flesh would not see corruption in the grave. He would not start to rot, but he would be in the grave 3 days, and he would come out alive. This Yeshua has Elohim raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of Elohim exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, or the Ruach HaKodesh, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but saith himself, Yah said unto my Yah, or let's say it the way he said it, Adonai said unto Adonai, sit thou at my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that Elohim has made the same Yeshua whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ, both Master and your Savior. the anointed one. Christ, the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation. He's giving him these titles. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Remember, these are devout men. They have been told the truth about Messiah. And they are so convicted that their heart is about to bust. It's hurting in their chest. Man, what did we do? What did we do? They are convicted. They are pricked. This prick is not like a pin prick that sticks you. When you look at those old Roman movies and you see that lance that the Roman soldiers have when they're marching and you got these long spears, at the end of it, it's not a tip with a point on it. At the end of it, it's blunt. And what they would do is they would march and they would hit you in the chest with it. And it would bust your heart. And this is what it's saying. They were so convicted that it bust their heart. That's how convicted that they were. Their heart hurt. If you've ever been hurt emotionally, that it hurts your heart, it hurts your chest. This is what he's talking about. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, not in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as Yah our Elohim shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort or encourage, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. This generation rejected Messiah. Save yourself from them. Run to the Most High. Then they that gladly received this word were baptized. They heard the word and they had to do something. Because you'll have people out there teach you don't have to be baptized. That baptism is just an outward sign of an inward change. And you don't have to do it. That is also a lie from the pits of hell. You must be born of the water, baptized. When all these men heard, when they received the word, they gladly were baptized. And the same day were added unto them 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. And every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising Elohim and having favor with all the people, and Yah added to the church daily such as should be saved. So you gotta repent and be baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's if you gladly do this, because some people don't gladly get baptized. Some people do it out of fear. Some people do it out of, they feel like it's a necessity because they don't want to go to the lake. But they're not doing it really to become the child of the Most High. It's not explained to them that way. Let's go to the book of Luke. Let's go to Book of John. My bad. Book of John, chapter 14. The Book of John, chapter 14. Let's get verses 16 and 17. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. And I will pray to Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Messiah is with them at this time, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be with you, shall be in you. So you are to understand that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is to be in you. Okay? Now let's go to the Book of Luke, chapter 9. Book of Luke, chapter 11. The Book of Luke, chapter 11. And we're going to get verses 9 through 13. The Book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. It shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives, and he that seeketh, finds. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Many people aren't receiving because they're not even told to ask. When you repent and are baptized, you need to come out of that water asking the Most High to send you his Spirit. Father, give me your Spirit. Beget me. Fill me with the Ruach HaKodesh. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. Need to be asking. Need to be praising him and asking. And he will give it to you. He will give himself to you. I keep wanting to say, I keep got to get away from that it when I'm speaking concerning the Most High. You must ask. And if you're being taught not to ask, how do you expect to receive? If you're being not even told to ask, how are you expecting to receive? The expectation is not even there. So tell your loved ones, if they have not received the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit of the Most High, they need to ask him for his Spirit. It is not an automatic thing. Let's go to Acts chapter 8, and then we're going to have communion, and we're going to call this a day. We're going to thank the Most High. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. And I only want to get a couple of verses out of Acts chapter 8. And we're going to drop down and we're going to start in start in verse 12. We're not going to read about Simon the sorcerer. We're not concerned with him today. Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 12. But when they believed Philip, now this is Philip coming to the city of Samaria. And, you know, for those brothers and sisters who are teaching that the Samaritans, all of the Samaritans, were transplants, excuse me, were transplants from the Assyrian kingdom, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and 31, and you will find that those men that escaped out of the hands of the kings of Assyria, they stayed in the northern kingdom, in Samaria, in the city of Samaria, and they stayed in the city of Samaria. And these are Hebrew Israelites. And this is who Philip is coming to. These are not Gentiles. Even though there's Gentiles among them, who Philip is coming to is the lost sheep of the house of Israel in Samaria. So just understand that. But when they believed, the people of Samaria, Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of Elohim and the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. This is Simon the sorcerer. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of Elohim, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Why? They've already been baptized. The men and women were baptized. They heard the word and they were baptized. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, or in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. So it is not an automatic thing that when you get baptized, you get filled with the Spirit of the Most High. These people in Samaria didn't get filled right away. They had to send for Peter and John. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. They received the Ruach. Now, these are Hebrew Israelites. These are part of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go to Acts chapter 10. The book of Acts chapter 10. And we're going to read a couple of verses, and we're not going to read all of this. Just see who's being talked about. And then we're going to drop down to about verse 44. There was a certain man in Caesarea, verse 1, called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. He's a Gentile. He's a devout man, one that feared Elohim with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to Elohim always. Alike, one that has converted to the way. He's an Italian, but he's not a Hebrew Israelite by birth. He is a believer in the Most High, and he fears him, and he keeps the statutes, laws, and commandments of Israel, of the Most High. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of Elohim coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up before for a memorial before Elohim. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he lodges with one Simon Tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and devout soldiers, and these are devout soldiers of them that waited on him continually. So his household was devout. His household followed the statutes, the laws, and the commandments of the Most High. They worshiped the Most High Elohim of Israel. And so he sent two soldiers that are just like him to go get Peter. Now let's drop down to verse 44. You can read all the rest of that in between, but for a matter of time, Peter starts to teach to them Messiah and how Messiah died for the remission of sins. Verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, six other Hebrew Israelites that came with Peter, which believed, were astonished. Huh? As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit comes without observation. So how did they know? Verse 46, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify Elohim. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water? Must be born of the water and of the Spirit, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So we have the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, just as it was done on the day of Pentecost with the Gentiles. And the Gentiles received the Ruach HaKodesh before they were baptized in the water. In Acts chapter 8, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, when the gospel was preached to them, the Ruach HaKodesh didn't fall on them right away. Somebody had to come and lay hands on them. Then they received. But the point is, you have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. This day of Pentecost is to celebrate that day. It's to celebrate this event. It's to celebrate the Most High pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. If you have not experienced this, I want to invite you to come today. Find a church that will baptize you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Ask the Father for his Spirit with signs following, so that you know for your own faith, so that you just don't believe in your mind, but you know in your heart, because you had the sign to come to show you. Get your citizenship in the kingdom. Save yourself. Don't worry about what your mother's going to think, or your father's going to think, or your husband's going to think, or your wife is going to think, or your children are going to think, or your friends are going to think. Don't worry about what anybody else is going to say. Don't worry about if they hear you talking in tongues, what they're going to say. You're going to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is the Most High Elohim that is doing it, and that he has chosen you. There is no feeling like that. There is no replacement for it. Amen? Amen. So happy Pentecost to each and every one of you. We want to celebrate our Messiah, the one who sends the Ruach HaKodesh. We want to thank him for going to the cross and giving up his life for us freely of his own free will, dying for our sins and being our advocate in heaven. And making it possible that we should enter into the kingdom. That we shall enter into the new covenant. If you are in Sunday church and you keep Sunday church, I implore you. I beg you. Come out of the Sunday church. Come and keep the commandment of the Most High to remember his Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Enter into his covenant. With that being said, for all those who are online and who are for communion, if you will get your grape juice, and I'm saying grape juice from now on, I'm not going to say wine. If you drink wine, that's on you, but after I finish teaching what wine, fermented wine, actually stands for in the scriptures, you may not want to, drink fermented wine when it comes to communion. Okay? But you may want to only use grape juice, unfermented wine. Okay? So get your grape juice and your unleavened bread. And if you have a new bottle that needs to be blessed, if you will take it in your left hand and put your right hand on top of it as we pray over it. Father Yah, we come before you right now, Father. We present this grape juice and sanctify it as the blood of Messiah in the new covenant, that when we partake of it, that we reverence it, Father, that we have all respect of it and we don't treat it as common, but that we understand that it represents the blood of Messiah and that we should only consume it if we're blessing the entire bottle, that we should only consume this in special occasions in remembrance of Messiah. We should not have this bottle or use it with any other type of meal. It should not be common to us, but it should be sacred. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen. Now, if you didn't bless the whole bottle, when we bless, I want you to take out of that bottle and pour such as you would drink on this morning, as you would consume. Not to get, you know, if it's wine, not to get drunk, but as a representation of the blood of Messiah, if you pour such as you will consume on this morning, and we will bless this cup before we partake. I want you to take the unleavened bread or the wafer, the cracker that you're using, anything that is unleavened that represents the body of Messiah. I want you to take it in your left hand. I want you to put your right hand over it. And as Messiah was having dinner with his disciples, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat all of it in remembrance of me." Father, accept this offering of this unleavened bread as the body of Messiah, as we remember how his body was broken for us on the cross, before and on the cross, how he gave his life for us. You may now take and eat of the bread. Let us give thanks to the Most High Elohim. Let's give thanks to Messiah for his body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Messiah, for going to the cross and dying for us and having your body broken and taking the punishment that we should have received that Messiah intended for us. You took it as a substitute for us. And we thank you so much on today. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Messiah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now take the cup. Place it in your left hand. Place your right hand over it. Father, accept this cup as it represents the blood that was shed for us by Messiah. And as Messiah said, take, this is my blood in the New Testament. Drink ye all of it. Do this in remembrance of me. You may take the cup and drink it now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the blood of salvation. Thank you for the blood in the new covenant. Father, thank you for, hallelujah, salvation and redemption. Thank you for the pardoning of our sins. Father, we remember Messiah and all that he did, his work upon the cross, the shedding of his blood for us, the payment for our sins, and we give him glory and honor and praise, and we lift him up, Father, in celebration of new life, for it is only by his blood that we enter in to this new covenant. Father, we thank you for the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, Father. And by your Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. We love you, Father, on today. We adore you. We lift you up, and we glorify your name for caring for us, sinners. Those that were opposed to you, Father, you chose us. You called us. We heard your voice and we came, Father. And all that you have said, we will do, Father. We will obey all that you say, as Messiah said. Every word that proceeds out of your mouth is by those words shall we live. And all the saints of the Most High say amen and amen and amen. Now, as we listen to this song that I'm about to play, I want you to consider your salvation. Do you know that you know that you know that you belong to the Most High Elohim? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are his child, filled with his Spirit? Do you know? And I know I uploaded this song, so where did it go? There it is. All right, amen. So as we listen to this song, I want you to answer the question to the Most High. Will your heart say yes to the Most High? Will you answer the call to salvation? If you have slipped and stumbled, will you come back to the Most High? If you are genuine in your heart, he will receive you. He will forgive you of your sins. He will accept you. Turn back to him even now. For he calls you. Thank you. Have a walk with him. He's calling us to salvation. Say yes to the Most High. Walk in his ways. Fear him and keep his commandments. Happy Pentecost, family. On this evening, we will have spiritual wellness. I don't know exactly where we're at with that. I have to look and see what we did last week. Expect to meet at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on this evening for spiritual wellness. I pray to see you all there. Have a blessed Pentecost. Eat well on today and praise the Most High. Give him glory, for truly he is worthy. Shalom, family.
Sometimes all I wanna do is jump. Lift my head up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do? I don't have you. It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom,
Shalom, Brother Miles.